What? Amen, please. I tell you what, God gets all the glory. Amen. Amen. How many people? We got some saved folk up in here. Hey, does that mean, hey, in Georgia, that means we got some Christian people up in here. Come on. Do we have any Christians up in here? Do we have any people that look like Jesus up in the house? Come on. You can be one Christian in here. It's all right. Look, it's okay. We're one right here. It's okay to look like a Christian here, but are you looking like a Christian out there? That's where it's meant. That's where we build up each other in here. That's where we encourage one another. What we're really supposed to do is take what we learn in here and bring it out there in the mission fields. Amen. To your next door neighbor. Amen. To your boss. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm going to beat him up sometimes. Didn't give me a raise that year. I should have knocked him out. But you know what? It takes the love of Jesus. Amen. It's the love of Jesus that holds us back because that old man's dead. Amen. Somebody say amen. I know that's true. The old man's dead because when he died, amen, Jesus took him to the grave. But Jesus rose back. Amen, on the third day. Praise God. I give honor to God. I give honor to my Christ and my Savior. Amen. I give honor to the Holy Spirit. I give honor to Pastor Fred and the church. I give honor to my wife, my children back in Georgia. Amen. I love John. Man, John is a blessing. John has been, let me tell you about John. John, I love you. Y'all know John. Yep. John, he's a Jonathan to me. He is a Jonathan, if you can put that in the sense of a David and Jonathan relationship. Amen. I love that brother. I have a kindred with him. We have a connection in the spirit. Amen. One day we're going to tag team preach. Amen. Hey, Bishop T.D. Jakes, boy. And I tell you what, boy, he'd be doing some tag teaming. But I hear that Pastor Fred and John do tag team. But, amen, God brings people in your life for a reason. Amen. To encourage you, to build you, to esteem you. Amen. Not to throw you down, not to beat you up, but to esteem you, to encourage you. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? I know the bulletin, I said this in the first service. The bulletin says Colossians 1:14. Amen. We're going to go actually to, we're going to read 13 and 14. Colossians 1:13 and verse 14. And the title of the sermon is Our Rescuing King. How many know we got a rescuing king? Amen. When you're there, say, I got it. Amen. I still hear pages flipping. Slow pokes. I'm just kidding with you. Amen. How many people know we can have fun in the Lord? You know, we were just talking about John. We was on his back deck last night, and it was Shay and Ron and John and me was back there talking. And John brought up an awesome point. He said, man, isn't this great that we don't have to sit out here on the deck and drink beer to have a good time? I ain't got to throw back no bud. I can throw back some Jesus. Amen. Have a great conversation in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13, read with me, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Let's read it one more time. For he has rescued us. Somebody say rescued.
Rescued.
Rescued. For he, God, talking about God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son Jesus, whom he loves, and whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Amen. You may be seated. Just stand with me. We're going to pray. Put your brakes on. Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise, and God, we honor you, God. Father, I ask you, God, to get me out of the way. God, let my flesh die. Let my flesh decrease, God, and I ask you, God, to increase in me, Father. God, I pray, God, let it be a word spoken today, Father, that puts seeds, that plants seeds in our hearts, Father. That God, that only you can do the increase, God. God, I pray, Lord, that souls will be saved today. God, that mind, ways of thinking, God, will be changed. God, that hearts will be transformed. And God, that people would understand that it's only through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ that they can be saved from the eternal hell and from their sins this morning. God, Father, we praise you and we bless you and we honor you. God, I pray that people will be encouraged today and they walk out with understanding and with a knowledge today, God. Father, we just we pray clarity this morning, God. And Father, we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Somebody say rescue.
Rescue.
God, I love that word. How many people in here has had to call 911? Oh, come on, somebody. My goodness. A couple folks had to call 911. John told me, Sydney's like, is it pretty dangerous around here in some parts? That's what I was told. So I know probably more people in here had to call 911 before. But you know what? God has been really speaking to my heart that people need to be rescued. People need to be rescued. Even in the church, we need to be rescued. But you know what? There's more people. There's a whole lot more people outside in the world that need to be rescued. They need to be told about the love of Jesus. Hey, can I get an amen? Amen. You didn't know about the love of Jesus until you were told about it. Amen. I got saved when I was 8 years old at Vacation Bible School. The pastor, one of the preachers, he was a minister. He took it down elementary to us. I was 8 years old, and he took it down to a washer and a dryer. That's how simple he made the gospel. Jesus came to wash your sins away like your mama washed your clothes. And he dried you up, stood you up, clothed you with righteousness. Clothed you. Amen. Beer doesn't make you happy. Drug ain't going to make you happy. Don't care what you think, what the world, what's this? Old things are not going to make you happy. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. Amen. Newness became because I was in Christ Jesus. I'm new now because I'm covered with an everlasting blood that covers me. And not only just covers my sins, that's the old covenant. See, in the old covenant, sins were just covered. Now that we're in this blessed covenant, now that we're in a better covenant, Hebrews 7:22, it says, Jesus, he is our high priest now. Jesus, he is the surety, he's the guarantee of a better covenant, of a better covenant. Why is this a better covenant that we live in? Because our Jesus can never fail. Oh, come on, man. I want people to talk back to me this morning. Jesus can never fail you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel like, the world's condemning you, Satan coming at you, judging you. Watch this. This word ain't meant to beat you up. This word is to convict you of your sin and show you the righteous way. It's not to watch it. This thing's not to beat you over there. It's to show you the love of Jesus. The Bible tells me in John that there's no other way unto heaven. Watch this. Christ is the only way unto heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Father except through the Son. I'm talking about a rescuing King. Amen. You know what? God rescued me. Can I share a little bit? Can I get a little personal? Can I tell you how God rescued me? I'm going to tell you about my life. And then I'm going to tell you about the people in the Word. Amen. Like I said, I got saved when I was 8 years old, got called into the ministry at 17. Matter of fact, I almost got killed 2 weeks before I was called into the ministry. How many people love football? Oh, come on, Ohio State fan. We got any Buckeye fans? Come on. I know my brother Ron, I better not say it. You hear me say it? He a Florida Gator fan. Amen. I love football. So I was at football practice, and amen, and I went to Blockbuster to get me a movie, came back. I hit the back end of a log truck, and logs literally, and Ron knows, I was driving a 1972 Cheyenne pickup truck, and my dad had given it down to me, and I hit the back of it, and it was sitting still, and I wasn't paying attention. I was actually thinking about somebody else I seen on top of the other side of the street, up on the road, and they had the blinkers on. I thought it was a girl that I had dated in the past, and I thought, well, it kind of looks like a car. I try to be the rescuing king. You know, I try to help her out. You know, is that Amanda's car? And it had her flashed on, and I wasn't paying attention. I hit the back end of a log truck. And I tell you what, God took my hands, and he folded up in me, and he laid me down in that seat. I was 3 houses away from my house when that happened. I was almost decapitated. My truck went so far from those logs, it knocked my tailgate off of my truck. Come on, somebody. You got to know the love of Jesus. God has a plan for our lives. And I don't care what Satan's telling you, that you ain't worth nothing, that you have no purpose. The devil's a liar and the truth's not in him. Oh, come on, somebody. I need an amen on that one. Amen. Jesus came to defeat the devil's works, the Bible tells me. God had a plan for my life. 2 weeks later, I went to a ministry, and I can't even think of the name. It's kind of like Super Wild, but it's for the kind of high school and college age kids. And God called me to the ministry there. I knew God called. I knew by faith in my heart, with surety, God called me. Well, I got called in 17. I was excited. I was pumped. Then 18, all hell broke loose. I was playing football. Thought I was a man. Had my leather jacket on. I was looking good on the outside. Man, got my numbers on the side. I was wrestling, had 140 on this side, and thought I was doing good. But I was hurting on the inside. You know why? Because my earthly father taught me and my sister to never have sex before you're married. He says, son, stay pure. Amen. How many is growing up in a Christian family? I mean, how many can respect a Christian mother and father? Amen. I respect my mom and dad. I love them. And I respect the house that I grew up in, the love of Jesus that they showed me. My dad says, son, he told my sister, he said, son, and Adam, he said, Andrew and Adam, listen, he said, don't have sex before you get married. Don't do it. Don't fall into the temptation. And I praise God that I never did that before I got married. Sure, I slipped up and I did things wrong, but I thank God we got a forgiving God. But I never did that before I got married. So here comes the enemy. How many in here know that once God speaks the word, the enemy's always got to come? Amen. We know that. We know that by the book of Mark. Talking about the seeds. When God plants a seed in your life, the enemy's always got to come. Where it's worries of life. Amen. Things of this world are going to try to pluck the seeds that God plants in your life. Because when you really get grounded and rooted in this word, you're going to be like that tree rooted and grounded by that river. Nothing can't break you away. But the word was spoken and Satan came. He said, Adam, if you're not having sex, you must be gay. You got chances over here. Look, you dating these fine looking girls. They pretty, you know, they look good. You getting opportunities. Come on. You need to take it. No. Well, you must be gay then. I fought with that for 3 years, tormenting in my life. I knew that I wasn't. Hello, I'm married and got 2 kids now. But this fight, there was a torment. There was a struggle. There was spiritual warfare that I was dealing with in the heavenlies. Because Satan didn't want me to prosper in my calling. See, Satan doesn't want you to prosper in your calling. But praise Jesus, we got a rescuing king. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for nothing. He came with love and with power. But you know, he came with humility. Because he rode on that donkey. But man, I struggled. I went to a psych. I went to my primary care physician. And I said, man, I need some help. God, I was tormented. I told Pastor Fred last night when we were sitting at the restaurant eating. I said, you know, Pastor Fred, I said, I was tormented so much in my mind, I try to sleep all the time. And then it started coming in my dreams. Tormented. So I went to a psychiatrist and he said, well, let me do this. Uh-oh, man's fix coming. Everybody, how many know man's fix? Oh, Lord. Let me give you some drugs. Let me give you some medication. So he said, listen, son, I'm going to give you some Seroquel, and I want you to take this every time you hear that voice in your head. So here I am, a senior in high school, and I got pills in my pocket. Nobody don't know about it. Ron don't even know about it. He was my best friend in high school. He don't even know about it. I kept hearing from everybody because I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I mean, how am I going to tell a 17, 18-year-old going to tell, hey, dude, I got gay thoughts are hitting my mind. The enemy's trying to tell me I'm gay because I'm not having sex. But I want to stay pure and righteous for my wife one day because I'm a Christian. I want to serve him. But this torment's coming. I can't. Why is it not letting me go? Son, just pop a pill every time a voice comes in your mind. Well, I was going to the water fountain, chewing them things up and swallowing them. Let me tell you something. Those things didn't work, Jack, man. Sure, you need medicine. Amen. I ain't bumping medicine because Luke was a physician. If you need medicine, take it. But listen, that fix wasn't fixing me. Because you can't take an earthly matter to fix a spiritual problem. You can't take earthly medicine to fight what's just a spiritual matter. Amen. Seroquel ain't going to help the devil. It ain't going to stop the devil from talking. You need the word of God. Amen. I got my double-edged sword. Matter of fact, this is my revolver right now. I got my big sword right there. Amen. I got my double-edged sword right here. And I'm going to cut you up, Satan, when you come at me because I got the word of God. Because the Bible tells me the end that you already defeated, Satan. Amen. You were defeated when Christ died on the cross. Amen. I thank God that we have a covenant with Jesus. That watch this. The Bible tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. How many know that? How many got some issues they kind of dealing with this morning? Amen. Might need to be rescued out of something. Amen. God can rescue you this morning. Amen. We're still Christians. That doesn't make you, what's it? That doesn't make you unsaved because you got issues. Peter had issues and he was right with Jesus. I'm talking about a rescuing king here. God rescued me. Matter of fact, let me tell you something else. Uh-oh. I used to be racist. Didn't like black boys, didn't like the color. Matter of fact, one of my family members was in the Ku Klux Klan. Didn't like them. You know why? Because I got picked on by them. I got picked by them. I got nagged by them. When I went in the bathroom, I got slapped by them in the chest. Sure, I had black friends. I had some of them. Some of them I loved. But it was this one boy, it was a couple guys that, man, that they were just, they acted that thuggish way. And it was just like they were bumping up me and trying to come up against me and fight me. And planted a seed in my heart. It planted a seed in my heart. Because I got a lot of influence. You know how high school is. You get redneck buddies and you got all these boys think, hey, you know, white, black, Dixie flag, Malcolm X, you know, we're going to bust you up. We're going to have it in the middle of the class. And you call me a cracker. I'm going to call you something else. I ain't going to say that word. I don't like that word. I don't like that N word. Please, nobody say the N word. I don't like that word. But you know what God did? God was setting me up for something. He was setting me up for a blessing. My mother worked at Shaw Industries, and there was a pastor there, a black pastor. Oh, come on. God delivered me. God took that seed of bitterness out of my heart. He rescued me from that bitterness. He rescued from me those thoughts. Amen. I knew I wasn't gay. I knew God had a call for my life, but I was fighting. But God rescued me, and now I got peace in my mind. Now I know who I am. And you know what? I was a youth pastor of an all-black church for 4 years. Don't tell me God won't put you in a situation to make your flesh get a little, oh God. Amen. Because I'm talking about we had church. Amen. The black folk back in, they call it church. Amen. We having church up in here. Amen. I know how it is to wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, be at church at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, go to Rockmore, which is 45 minutes away, come back, have Sunday school, then have church till 3 o'clock. Y'all like that? I need a snack in between. Amen. I could have had supper in between. Keep serving Jesus. Amen. You know, then we had to go back to Rockmore. Amen. I did 8 to 5 on Sunday. Amen. But I learned so much. And I learned that it's not the color of a person that makes them. Come on, it's the heart inside, because God is not judging you. The Bible tells me in Samuel that God does not look on the outer portion of a man, but he looks at his heart. God's going to judge you by your heart. If your heart doesn't look right, you've got to get some issues right. Let's talk about the old covenant. Amen. The old covenant. I've been studying about the covenant, and God spoke to my heart, and I couldn't get away from the covenant. Couldn't get away from the covenant, and I started reading on it, and God showed me that in the old covenant, matter of fact, it was Genesis 17, Abraham, somebody ever say, everybody say Abraham. God, have mercy on that man's soul. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. Some of you may not know, some of you probably do, but God made a covenant with Abraham. You know how that covenant was sealed? Somebody say it. Circumcision, oh my God, 99 years old. I know that had a hurt. I'm glad I was circumcised as an infant. I ain't got to remember none of that. Amen. I told the first service, you know, Abraham got a circumcision. Noah got a rainbow. That's one of the pastors said in Georgia. He said, man, I know that's got to be wrong right there. He said, you know, Abraham and Noah are going to be having some conversations up in heaven one day. Amen. Can you imagine? But there had to be blood shed. See, Adam, when God created the earth, he created man. He wanted a relationship with man. He wanted that time with man. He wanted that connection with man. But the thing is man disobeyed God. God said, don't do, and man did. And what happened? That broke the connection away. But God, through Abraham, through his relationship that he had, he made a covenant with Abraham through blood. Abraham, amen. The covenant was sealed by circumcision. And God told Abraham, I want you to get a sacrifice. I want you to sacrifice. And this is my blood. They mingled blood is basically how it's put. A covenant means to cut. That's what it means in the Hebrew, means to cut. They had to cut something to seal it. Well, the thing is, how many here got an heirloom, ladies? You got something precious to your heart. Anybody got precious, something precious to your heart that maybe you want to hand down to your daughter, your granddaughter? The thing is, once you get something, see, there was something precious there that they had. But then there had to be a law to guide and lead them to make them a peculiar kind. But see, that's where we get the Mosaic law. But the thing is, the law was being broken. So here comes the priest and the priesthood. So now, in the Old Testament, they had a high priest. And the high priest would come into the holy place, and everything pretty much in the holy place would be covered in blood. And there was a veil that would separate the holy place into the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest, after he gave a sin offering for his sins, could only he approach God. Did you know that the high priest had a rope tied to his leg, that if he didn't have everything taken care of, he would drop dead, and nobody could go back in there, and they had to pull him out with a rope. Could you imagine that, seeing that? And what he would do, they did a sin offering once a year. And he would take two he-goats, two male goats, and he would offer one to the Lord as a sin offering. And he would take the other one, and he would take blood and put it upon his head and send it out to the wilderness to be destroyed by an animal to represent that sin is being abolished, sin is being destroyed. But I thank God that sin doesn't have to be covered anymore. Because in the Old Testament, sin was just covered. In the New Testament, sin's forgiven. Sin's taken care of. Your sins are dead. They don't exist anymore. Well, me and Pastor Fred were talking about past, present, and future. Your sins are gone. You've been freed. Your chains are gone. Amen. In Christ, there is no condemnation. For the Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, there is no condemnation. I thank God that we have a better covenant, because you know why? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:22 that Jesus, who founded the new covenant, he's the surety, he's the guarantee of this new covenant. Why? It says of this better covenant, matter of fact. Why is the New Testament a better covenant? Why is this covenant through Christ, the love that never fails? Why is this a better covenant? Because our high priest now, who is Jesus Christ, who will be priest forever, can never fail you. Watch this. Our Savior Jesus Christ can never fail you. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What about the prodigal son? What did the prodigal son do? He got his stuff and left. Amen. We're the ones that leave God. We think we got it figured out sometimes. And when we think we got it figured out, man, God tells us another thing. But what we always do, we always come running back to the Lord. Because in what? He's always standing in the same place. Same place. Hallelujah. So now we have a new covenant. Jesus came. You know what Jesus came to do? The Bible tells us he came to destroy the works of sin, to save his people from sin and destroy the devil's works, and to save us. Do you know that we're saved from the wrath of God? I don't want to see the wrath of God. How about you? I'm talking about all, you know, I'm glad I ain't going to get to see that. I'm going to be, how many are going to be raptured up? I better see some more hands than that. We got to hit the altar then if y'all ain't raising your hand. I'm talking about when that trumpet blows, who's going to be going up into the air? I'm going to meet my glory. I'm going to meet him up in the air, glory to God. Because what Christ is in my heart. The thing is, watch this. They had to go into the temple. How many know that we're the temple? Amen. We're the temple now. Watch this. We don't have to go into a temple. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we can come to the throne of God with boldness and with confidence. Man, how powerful is that? Because you know what all God sees? He sees the blood. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. We have Christ. He is our high priest forever. He sits and intercedes for us. You remember when Jesus was talking to Simon? And he says, Simon, Simon. He says, Satan is coming to to sift you as wheat. And we talked about that. You know, you got the, what is it on the outside? The chaff. He was trying to separate Peter. But Jesus was praying. He said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail you not. Man, thank you, God, that we have a mediator. We have an intercessor in heaven right now, the throne of God, interceding between us and God. Oh, you got to, when you catch that, you're going to understand that Jesus is everything to us. Watch this. You're going to stop doing the ritual stuff. You're going to do what? Watch this. Man puts it in a predicament that you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. Amen. Jason Upton said what he didn't have a ministry card. See, man will tell you got to have documentation. Sure, you got to have a letter and be ordained and all that stuff. That's to be authorizing the land. Authorities of the land, to obey the authorities. But you know what? God's going to call you regardless if you have a letter or not. The calling is already there. The purpose is already set. He's already called you. He's already drawing you. Amen. But we are the temple of God. We are the temple. And God's Spirit resides in us. It rests in us. Amen. We're talking about a rescuing king. I've seen some of you raise their hand. Man, God rescued me out of so much. God rescued me out of so much. Can I tell you about the people that, and the reason, listen, and the reason why I tell you about the covenant, the reason why I went through all that is a saying that if God rescued his people during the times of the old covenant because of the blood and the covenant they had, how much more do you think he's going to come to your rescue because if he gave his only begotten son? Anybody ever ask that question? God, where are you? God, why aren't you here? You know what? That's what I used to do when I was... Watch this. I'm talking, I used to be hostile. I used to have some hostility toward God. Matter of fact, I even cussed God. I thought I had it all figured out. God, I thought you called me, God. But now that I'm going through all hell and high water, Lord, what's going on, Jesus? I thought you were here. I thought you would never leave me nor forsake me. But God, why am I struggling so hard, God? He said, because God... He said, son, I got an anointing for you. Amen. The anointing doesn't come cheap, does it, John? The anointing doesn't come cheap, does it, Ron? Does it, Shay? Does it, Pastor? Watch this. The anointing of God that resides on you, it breaks the yokes in people's lives. There's still yokes trying to grip on people. Old men things. You remember when you used to do that? Condemnation, there it comes. You remember you used to do that? You remember you used to say that? You mean we used to do that thing? Yeah. That's Satan. He comes to condemn. But man, I thank God the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that who would ever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son to what? To condemn the world. He didn't do that. He sent his son to save the world. To save us from our sins. Man, we have a protector, man. We have a prince of peace. We have a king that's not scared of anything. He's already defeated everything. I thank God that I don't have to pick up my God like the people in the Old Testament did. You remember when they brought the Old Covenant? And they had the Ark of the Covenant. And that, what was it? I can't remember that statue they had, and it kept falling down. And then people had to go back in there and say, "Oh my, what in the world happened here?" They had to go in there, pick it back up, and stand it back up the next day. Walked out, that idol, before the Ark of the Covenant fell back again. And they had to keep on picking their God up. And matter of fact, the last time that it fell, it broke its head off. Amen. I come to tell you that Jesus can break any head of any problem you got. Which is, you can still be saved and still struggle with addictions. But let me tell you something, those addictions have already been taken care of. They've already been defeated. Well, it's a... Everything was defeated on this cross. Let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. You might already still be there. I'm not sure. Amen. I'm telling somebody that God is a rescuing God. We have a rescuing King. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 13. Amen. And it says that when you are dead in your sin and in uncircumcision of the sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. Man, we are alive in Christ right now. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you are alive in Christ right now. You ain't you anymore. That person's dead and gone. Even though your old man tried to rise up again, and you may, you know, you get mad sometimes to cuss word fly. Oh, that's that old man trying to rise up. Here come condemnation, trying to condemn you. But you know what? Jesus, all right, man, there's no condemnation in Christ. For your sins are done what? They're forgiven, past, present, and future. I mean, you don't have to live life being condemned. You have to live life forgiven in Christ, because we are forgiven. He forgave us all of our, watch this. So when we were dead in sin and in the circumcision of the sinful nature, God made us alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us. See, we have stuff against us and stood opposed to us. Jesus took that code. He nailed your sins on the cross. I'm talking about Jesus. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And he made it. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. Anybody through the addictions we're talking about, maybe stuff you're struggling with? Do you know that Jesus defeated those on the cross, like I just said? If you need a healing, amen, we believe healing in this church, don't we, Pastor? Right. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be healed. Right. By his stripes we are healed. Watch this. He came. Jesus came and did so that we could. Jesus came and did so that we could. I told him last night that there's no way that I could put my son on that cross. I have a three-year-old son, and I love him dearly. And I tell him last night, I'll fight you for him too. I'll fight you for my son. Amen. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my daughter, Ava. I love my son, Ethan. But God so loved the world that he gave us his son, his own precious son, so that we could be rescued out of our sin, so that we could be rescued out of our problems. And now that we have Jesus, those that are here that are saved and have accepted Christ your Savior, you know what your job is? To tell those that don't know about Jesus that they can be rescued too. Somebody's out there saying, you know, God, I wish there was a Holy Ghost 911 that I could call. You know that person that God's been putting on your heart? Hey, you need to go over to their house. Or you just need to give them a call and tell them God loves them. Amen. There's somebody right now crying. Yeah, there's somebody crying right now. You may not believe it, but I guarantee there is. Crying because they feel defeated. They feel like nothing's here for them. They feel like they don't have a purpose. Why do people commit suicide? Because they lose all hope. They lose all hope. But God can go in and rescue that person right out because of his loving grace and his forgiveness. Just to share with you. Amen. How many people in here has been rescued by something in the past like I have? Or maybe just something in general that you know that God's rescued. Man, praise God. Praise you, Jesus, man. Listen, that's our testimony. Amen. That's our testimony. That's what defeats Satan. That's what defeats Satan, by the blood of them, by the word of the testimony. Satan is defeated, man, because of Christ. We have a testimony in Christ. He came and did. So I could do what? Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about what he's done for me. How he took me out of sin. How he gave me a new life. How he gave me a vision. Do you know the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish? Do you know in Habakkuk it says that you got to write the vision? Amen. Everybody here's got a dream. Everybody here's got a vision. And it may be a little scattered right now. But that vision one day is going to come in peace and the puzzle is going to be put together. That's the reason why you're here at this church this morning. Because God's got you. It ain't by coincidence you're here. God's got you here for a reason to be up on the great teaching of Pastor Fred, man. God has anointed this guy, man. I love him to death. Every time I get around him, I get excited. Man, I tell you, there's a connection there. Because of something we have on the inside with each other. Like we all do. Amen. God, which is God, our great king, he rescued Gideon in Judges 6. Gideon. Amen. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And here's Gideon. I know it's a lot of us. Shay was talking about those days you wake up and you don't feel like no mighty warrior. I feel like I'm mighty about to get back in the bed what I'm about to do. I don't feel like going to work and hitting. I'm going to hit the snooze. What I'm going to do, it takes me some. I don't want to get up, God. Because my job is sitting at a computer typing, talking to people. And, you know, I work at an orthopedic doctor. So, you know, I work for 5 orthopedic doctors. And I'm sitting there taking messages saying, you know, I broke my leg and I broke my arm. And I've actually talked to some people. I got beat up last night. I went to the ER. And I hear a lot of stories. And I talk to a lot of people. And, man, God has blessed me to even minister to people on the phone. And you don't see that at some jobs. I get to minister to some people at my job. But, you know, sometimes I don't want to get up. But, you know, just like this right here, God rescued Gideon. God rescued Moses and what's this in the Israelites, the great Exodus, which is in Exodus 14. God rescued Daniel. Watch this. In Daniel 6, verse 16, it says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And this is what the king said to Daniel. May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And then he chunked them in there. But what did God do? God held those lions' mouths shut, and he rescued them. David, 1 Samuel 18, Saul wanted to kill David because he was jealous of him. God rescued David. The 3 Hebrew boys. Did you know the flame was so hot when King Nebuchadnezzar told him to turn it up? Even the men that went in there to try to do it, it burned them up. But who was in the midst of the fire with him? Come on, Jesus was. Jesus has always been there with him. There's a fourth being. Watch this. Somebody might see just you, but they don't see the Jesus on the inside of you. Amen. Somebody thinking, got it, dude. I don't understand him. He's always happy-go-lucky. He always... You know, I so many stories. God has blessed me. I had a manager at my job, happy-go-lucky. He said, man, everybody's intimidated this guy. And I was intimidated of him, too, be a matter of fact. I was like, oh, Lord, that dude looks serious, and I don't want to get around him. I said, yes, sir, and no, sir. I'll do what you have me to do. And he came up to me, and he said, hey, Adam, can I talk to you? This ain't job-related. And I was like, yes, sir, I'll talk to you, yeah. He said, let's go out to the garden section. I worked at Home Depot, and I did when I was 21, 22, and we went all the way in the back. And, man, this man poured his heart out to me, crying. Family broken. Wife hurting. Daughter, relationship torn. Amen. I ain't boasting in myself, but I'm boasting in some Jesus. Somebody's watching you. Amen. You've been rescued by the king. They need to be rescued too. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's crying on the inside. And they need to be rescued. Amen. You know, they got a 911. You know who it is? The lion's right to your pocket. The lion's coming from there up to heaven. And God's saying, son, you need to go. You need to go and tell them about me. People need to be rescued. Paul. Lowered over the wall in a basket to get out of Damascus in Acts 9, 23 to 25. Peter, while in prison, Peter was freed by an angel, Acts 12, 1 through 11. I'm talking, man, we see some of the great escapes in the Bible because God rescued them out. But thank God we have a better covenant because of Jesus Christ. Amen, my sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. What a relationship that we have in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. I thank God I am saved and I am going to heaven one day. Glory to God. I thank God, man, you need to take that to your job. Take it in your marriage. Those are struggling in your marriage right now. Man, my wife and I, we want to beat each other up the first 5 months. I'm about to shoot her or do something, Lord. God, help me. And we thought both thinking, God, did we make the right choice marrying each other? Because I was about to hurt her, God. And actually I did. I was verbally abusive to my wife. Actually, one time I was physically abusive because I was so frustrated on the inside. I grabbed her by her wrist and I put her in the corner because I wanted control. You know how a man is sometimes. He need control. He think he got it all right. Husbands. Husbands. Yeah, I'm whipping you a little bit. Only by grace, though, because I'm one too. I'm not whipping you. I just want you to understand that we're not perfect in ourselves, but we are in Christ. We're perfect in Christ. I may do wrong, but man, thank God for forgiveness. And I thank God I got an awesome wife. Man, God brought us out of that. I thought if we would have been unbelievers, I'd have left her in a heartbeat. She'd have left me probably. We wanted to get away from each other, but man, you know, you think about how can God put two people together that didn't really like each other for the first 5 months. Amen. Because you know you gotta bang a little bit in order a bit. You know, you gotta come in contrast. She got her thoughts, she got her thoughts. But you know what? A marriage has to be centered in Christ. If a marriage is not centered in Christ, it's gonna fail every time. You have to be glued to Christ in a marriage. Amen. Everybody seen Fireproof? Woo! Man, I love that movie, boy. Salt and pepper. Time together. Why in the world did you do that? Because when you're pouring out salt, you're pouring out pepper, and it's going to mix. Amen. When you pour out some John, you're going to pour out some Emily, too. Amen. Amen. You don't get John unless you get some Emily with him. You don't get Emily unless you get some John with him. Because they're one. And they're always going to stay one because God's got them together for a reason. Amen. Divorce is not an option in my house, and it shouldn't be in yours. And it shouldn't be in the house of God. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You know what? It breaks my heart to see how I used to treat my wife. It breaks my heart. But I thank God that we'll come out of that. God rescued us out of that. Amen. God's called my wife and I to missionary fields, to plant churches. It ain't started right now, but there's that vision. We got a vision. That's how God put us together. And if it wasn't for the purpose, and for us being saved, and both of us being Christians, and if it wasn't for the purpose of God putting us together for each other, if we was unbelievers, like I said, we'd have left. Bions be bions. But man, thank God for the grace and the love that he has for us in a marriage. But thank God that we are the bride and Jesus is our bridegroom. And he'll never leave us. He'll never divorce you. God doesn't hate you. He doesn't condemn you. God loves you. God loves you. How many people know that? Man, thank you, Jesus, for the love. Thank you, Jesus, for the love that we have in you. Amen. Even if you're struggling right now with marriage problems, God can rescue you. Amen. Even if you're struggling with something, God can rescue you. You know what? Don't let stop. Watch this. You know, a lot of times we let things in our lives stop us from helping others because we feel like we're not qualified. Don't stop. You're qualified. Trust me, because you got Christ in your heart. And God's got everything set up for you. Because when you know you're walking in the will of the Lord, it's when you know you're being obedient to Him. That's how you know you're walking in the will of the Lord, is when you're being obedient to Him. Amen. You ain't going to be sinning when you're being obedient to the Lord, because your heart's to please Him. I don't want to sin, man. I don't want to do wrong, even though we do at times, but man, He is just and is faithful to forgive us of our unrighteousness. And I thank God that I don't have to live in a condemned life, but I can live in forgiveness. If you're going through something, you know, right now, or maybe you know somebody's going through something, just raise your hand up for me. Just close your eyes and just raise your hand up for me. You know somebody's unsaved or you know just not living right. Maybe they're a Christian and they're struggling to know really who they are. They're straddling the fence. God, you see the hands, Father, that are lifted up. God, I pray and I ask, God, that you would touch these prayer requests, God. These petitions, Jesus. Jesus, we ask you to intercede for us right now in the name of your precious name, Jesus. Lord, intercede for us. Intercede, please, Father. Please, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your loving grace, for your loving forgiveness through your Son, Jesus, that we can be rescued out of our problems, that we can be rescued from out of our problems of our marriages and addictions. We thank you, Lord, that we serve Jesus Christ, the founder of this new covenant, this better covenant, because Jesus never fails. Jesus never lets us down. And Jesus, I just ask you to touch every one of these prayer requests, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to touch every person that's unsaved, Father. Father, there may be somebody in this church house today, God, that's unsaved. I pray, Lord, you just lead and guide them, Lord. If it be your will, God, lead and guide them to the altar, God, or they can be saved right there, God. God, lead and guide us, Father. I just pray, God, you show them, Lord, those that are unsaved in this house tonight, God, or this morning, God, that they don't have to feel defeated or condemned, but yet they can know the love of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness through the bloodshed of Calvary. Lord, it's through your bloodshed that we can be rescued and that we are rescued. God, I thank you for my wife, and I thank you, Lord, for my relationship with her. I thank you, God, for what you've brought me and my wife out of, Father, out of our frustrating days, Father, of marriage. And I thank you, Lord, that you can make our lives, Father, a testimony to other Christian believers and other marriages, God, to show that, God, even when we're struggling as Christians, we don't have to get divorced because there's no such thing as that with you, God. God, you don't divorce us. You never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, I just thank you for my wife. I pray, Lord, that was a testimony to some marriages here, God, of what you brought us out. And that the answer wasn't divorce, but yet it was in you, God, that was our answer. Centered in Christ. Lord, I pray that every life be centered in Christ this morning in this tabernacle, God. I pray that every life be centered in Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to get Pastor Fred's going to come up and share with you about communion. And there's that covenant, the new covenant. He said, I break this bread, the symbol of my body, this wine, or this. They had to drink symbolized the blood of the new covenant, the covenant that we're covered under and that by our sins are forgiven. Amen. Pastor, I'm gonna let you go. I'm just gonna share one thing. You know what, we may be going through some flames, amen, in a Christian life. It gets kind of hot sometimes through the things we go through and the things we have to learn. And I'm gonna share a story and I'm gonna be quiet. Tell this old Georgia boy to be quiet, son. I like to talk. 5-year-old boy went up to a goldsmith. And he's watching him, and goldsmith was burning some gold. And he says, so what are you doing? He said, well, I'm burning this gold. I'm melting it. I'm burning the infirmities out of it. He said, so what's the heat for? He said, that's exactly what it's for. He said, I put heat to it so I can pull up the infirmities, the impure stuff to the top. He said, well, what's all that stuff on the top that's bubbling up? He said, well, that's what it is. He said, that's all the impure stuff that's in the gold that makes it nothing. He said, but the more I melt it down and the impurities come up, the more it's worth. And so the goldsmith took and raked the infirmities off. He raked sin off. He raked impure things off. He said, well, how do you know to turn down the heat? The goldsmith said, when I can see my reflection in it. See, God's saying this morning that those who are not saved, I can take your infirmities and wipe them away, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He took our infirmities away. He took our sin away. And when you give your life to Christ, you're going to see the reflection in you of the Father. Sign. Amen. Y'all be blessed today. Amen. Y'all enjoy communion. Let it be a time of fellowship and worship. I'm going to give the floor to Pastor Fred. God bless you, Pastor.